This is The Great Divide. I am your boy, F Major, Effington, for those who are not in the know. Chilling out here in the EUG as per usual. If you want to leave feedback for the show or get in touch with me, feedback@thegreatdivide.us. Not .com, but .us, as in United States. It is unseasonably cold out here today. It is March 31st, and it is 3-something in the afternoon, and it is still 39 degrees. This time of year is normally in the mid to high 50s range, but we still messing around in freezing temperatures. So I'm a little bit miserable. It's rainy outside, which, as miserable as I am about it, I'm glad, because it reminds me that once we get to the dry season and then wildfires and stuff start, that can be more miserable than a little bit of rain. So I'm good. We're also a day away from finding out that the 45th president of the United States, for the first time in history, a president has been indicted. Now, everybody partying and touchdown dancing and celebrating and having festivals and stuff. And I am too. I'm going to get to that. But for me, none of this is over until there is a sentencing that includes prison time. That's when this is over for me. I want to party. I want to have a good time. I'm delighted that an indictment has been made, because I didn't think it would happen. But for me, this is not over until I see that motherfucker in handcuffs. For me, this is not over until I see him in handcuffs. It is not over for me until he is sitting in a cell. I don't even care for how long anyway. I just need to see him suffer even a tenth of what he made other people suffer. Preferably more than 10%, like 1,000%. But at this point, my bar is so low, I'll take whatever I can get. But I knew that it was only a matter of time before he would get got. And I want to shout out Black Girl Magic and Black Boy Joy, because all the indictments that are coming down at the hands of black people. The same facts and details and crimes and all that type of stuff that Alvin Bragg, who is the DA for New York, who just indicted Trump, all the facts and stuff that he had, so has Merrick Garland. He's had the same, you know, but for whatever reason, they was dragging their feet up there in the federal level. In fact, he didn't even really start anything until after he got the information from the January 6th committee. It's not Congress's job to investigate crimes. They have the ability to, and they can, but that's the Department of Justice's job. That's why it's the Department of Justice. They're supposed to investigate. But he drug his feet so long that now we waiting through another special investigator. And the funny thing about the special investigator is that he wasn't appointed until a year and a half after Trump left office. Why was he not appointed on January 7th? You get what I'm saying? So shout out to Black Girl Magic, to Letitia, Letitia James and Fonnie Willis. Letitia James up there in New York, she was like, yeah, we gonna get this motherfucker. And she kept her word and she did her investigation. And even though hers was a civil suit and not a criminal suit, she still did what she said she was gonna do. And then Fonnie Willis down there in Georgia working it out on a case that I think is exponentially more important than hush money payments. And then, of course, Alvin Bragg. All the black folks have been trying their best to get this dude. Finally, we have some type of leeway. Some type of something is happening. Motion has been made. This is not to say Merrick Garland ain't going to do anything. It's just to say it took entirely too long, because Donald Trump is already in the midst of running for president again. This should have happened before he even had a chance to pop in a race. So, because of the unprecedented nature of what is going on right now, I thought I would share with you today as my first podcast back from a 2-year hiatus, because if you remember, my last podcast was right before the 2020 election. And I have taken the last 2 years off, and we'll talk about that on an upcoming episode about why I'm jumping back in now. But I have decided to jump back in because now I have stuff to talk about. I haven't had anything to talk about for the last 2 years. Now I do. So because I have always known that this fool would get caught, I'm going to tell you how I know, or how I knew. When I was growing up, the very first thing my mother taught me was how to sing the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. That was the very first thing my mother taught me. Now, she didn't do it in opposition to the real national anthem. She was doing it because she wanted me to know that my heritage played a tremendous part of who I was going to be as a person navigating this world. She taught me that song. She said, the reason it's important is because I need you to carry this in your heart with love. I need you to know that this song is about love. It's about harmony. It's about unity. And these are the things that you need to carry yourself through this life with if you plan to make it and be successful in it. You have to be unified with people. You have to love people. You have to be accepting of people. And those are the tenets of that song. And so she taught it to me. She told me, you know, son, whenever you are feeling afraid or insecure or doubtful, just hum those words to yourself. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring full of harmony, of liberty. Stuff like that. And she was right, because in times when I'm afraid, that's what I think of. I think of my mother and I think of that song. Now, on the flip side of that, the first thing my daddy taught me, because my daddy was a real nigga, the first thing my daddy taught me was the 10 crime commandments. I need to set this up. When you grow up in a, not necessarily a Black neighborhood, but a poor neighborhood in a poor city where there are no resources, they allocate all the money to the white parts of town and all that type of stuff. When you live in a place where there are no resources, which happens to be mostly Black, a lot of crime happened because people are scrounging, trying to find ways to take care of each other, trying to find ways to take care of their families and themselves and stuff. And because there are no resources allocated to their part of town, sometimes you got to take a little something from somebody else. And because of that, because we grew up in an economically depressed area, it wasn't crime ridden, but there was a lot of crimes. The thing is, when you live in a place like that, everybody knows everybody else. So my daddy taught me the 10 crime commandments because he's the coolest motherfucker that ever lived. And it wasn't to say that he thought I should do crime or that he condoned it. It was to say that if I did or found myself in a place where I needed to, I knew how to protect myself. And this is not uncommon for a lot of folks who live in economically depressed areas, be they Black or white. But there are certain things you kind of got to know if you ever going to commit a crime. And the reason I knew Donald Trump was going to get caught is because he's done almost none of these things. So it's 10 commandments. So let me go through this list. The first commandment, if you gonna do some dirt, do that shit somewhere else. You don't do no dirt in your community because these are the people who look out for you and protect you. They the ones that raise you. It takes a village to raise a child. Do that shit somewhere else. I can tell you, for the most part, every Black father teach their son that. I can't remember a time in any of the Black neighborhoods I lived in where anybody from the neighborhood did dirt in the neighborhood. Whenever somebody got caught for doing something they ain't had no business doing, it was always a surprise because they did that shit somewhere else. Like if your son call your house talking about I'm in jail, I need bail money. You don't find that shit out until he called, because he committed that crime somewhere else. So it's not like the neighbors are going to know. So that was the first one. If you're going to do some dirt, do that shit somewhere else. Second commandment. If you're going to commit a crime, always, always do it alone. That one's self-explanatory. Commandment number three. Committing coordinated crimes mean there's always a witness. So if you're going to commit a crime with somebody else, then there's always somebody to corroborate that you did that shit, that you was part of that shit. And sometimes they'll even lie, say you was the mastermind behind that shit. And that leads back to the second commandment, do that shit alone. Fourth commandment, if you get caught, your accomplices will turn on you 100% of the time. Let me say that again for the people in the back. If you get caught, don't be looking for the people who did it with you to be the ones that's going to bail you out, because they're going to tell on your ass. I know this to be true. I have seen this firsthand. Commandment number five. Do not commit crimes with or against people who have any proof of dirt that you've ever done, because they will hand that shit over to a motherfucker to get themselves off of something, even if it's not at the same time or even related to what you did. So let's say you was boys with somebody and y'all committed a crime together in 1997. That motherfucker moved across the country to New Hampshire or Vermont or somewhere like that. 13 years later, in 2010, this motherfucker get caught for doing some dirt up there. He's going to offer that you were the mastermind behind some other crime in 1997 to get yourself off or to get some type of plea deal. Never do no dirt with nobody who got dirt on you. Let's see. Commandment number six. This is important. Do not commit crimes with or against people who will kill you. That's self-explanatory. Commandment number seven. Do not commit crimes with, against, or for affluent people. The reason why you don't want to commit crimes with, against, or for a rich person is because if you're a young person and they're young like you, then what they're doing is, how do you describe it? I would say it's a type of poverty tourism. They don't have to commit a crime. When they affluent and they come from a family that got money, they ain't got no business out committing no crime. They doing that shit to see what it's like on the other side. It's kind of like Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl. Before they did the titty gate, Justin Timberfoot would be out on these different TV shows and radio stations talking about, oh, I'm down with the black culture and I'm this and that and other thing, and I'm recording with Snoop Doggy Dogg and Usher and all of these niggas and shit. As soon as Titty Gate happened, he turned his entire ass on the black culture. He went back to being white when that shit happened. Just go look at the little interviews and shit before and after Titty Gate and you'll see what I'm happening. They're all over YouTube. That's the same as what rich kids do when they're trying to commit crimes with their poor friends. They can go back to being rich whenever the fuck they want to, but you stuck being a criminal for the rest of your life unless you find a way out of that shit. The reason why you don't commit crimes for rich people is because, think about it, these motherfuckers got enough money to buy whatever it is they want. If they want you to do some shit that they can't buy, it's because whatever it is they want is worth more than money. It's going to cost a life or it's going to cost freedom. And it ain't going to be their freedom or their life that gets taken. So you never commit crimes with, against, or for rich people. Commandment number eight. Once you get what you need from the crime game, leave that shit behind. What happens is people get greedy. So somebody will find out they have a need or a bill that needs to be paid or something that they can't quite take care of, and then they'll commit a crime to get enough money or to get whatever resource it is that they need to cover their ass. But then when they get that money and realize how quick and easy it was that one time, then they'll get greedy. So basically what happens is you're trying to get your head above water. But getting that easy money feels so good that you start wanting to make your whole body rise above water. The problem is you can't stand on water. So the higher up you go, the harder you're going to crash back down into the water until you drown to death. And that's what happens when people get greedy. So once you get what you need from the crime game, leave that shit behind. And Jay-Z is a good example of that, because he did all the shit that he say he did in his songs. He did that shit. But once he got out of the crime game, once he got into the music, once his first album took off, he left that shit behind. And that's the way you're supposed to do it. Commandment number 9. If your crime is successful, do not share your spoils. Keep that shit to yourself. This one is important because if you share whatever you've gained with other people, you have now implicated those people in your crimes because they're spending that money. So let's say you rob somebody or steal something, but you live with your mama, you live in her basement. You take all this shit and you put it in her house. Now when you get caught, the police is going to come tear your mama house up because you did some shit you ain't have no business. She's implicated in your crime because you keeping the shit at her house. So if you're going to do some dirt, you always keep that shit separate from the other people around you who ain't got shit to do with it. And lastly, but not leastly, and everybody know this one, you could say this one with me. The 10th commandment, if you get arrested, the only sentences you know from that point on is, I'd like to see a lawyer, or I am Groot, I don't speak English, no speak the English, okay? Bring me a motherfucking lawyer, and I'll talk to that nigga. I'm not talking to you. And it is funny to me how people will still hear a police officer read them their Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say and do can be used against you in a court of law. And then the cop will say some shit like, you might as well just tell me, I'm trying to help you. I want you to go home too, and all of this other time. And then people will start telling their business. The cops are not your friend. How many more people you got to see die, innocent people, for you to know the cops ain't your friend? Them niggas is there for a paycheck. And I don't know about you, but I would never let anything come between me and my paycheck. Not even if you're trying to get home to your family. I'm not going to let nothing come between me and my money. The last thing you're going to fuck up in my world is my money. Okay? You need to understand that up front, ladies and gentlemen. So let's review. If you're going to do some dirt, do it somewhere else. Trump violated that rule. He did this shit in his backyard. He did it under the nose of his wife. So he violated that way. If you're going to commit a crime, always do it alone. This nigga had God knows how many people that he would tell his crimes about and get them to do the shit for him. And so now they always going to be witnesses. Every dirty shit that he ever done, he ain't got nothing but witnesses. If you get caught, your accomplices will turn 100% of the time. So, let's see. The lawyers who, secret documents case down in Florida, the lawyers who signed those papers that said he had returned all of the documents, even though he didn't, they have turned on him. Michael Cohen, his old lawyer, turned on him. Alan Weisselberg turned on him. A lot of people turned on him because, like the 4th commandment say, if you get caught, accomplices will turn on you. So now not only did Trump got to defend himself against his crimes, he got to defend himself against other people who know that he committed those crimes and told all his business. Commandment number 5, Do not commit crimes with or against people who have any proof that you've ever done any dirt. He's done that one. Do not commit any crimes with or against people who will kill you. Now, that remains to be seen. Nobody ain't killed him yet, but that don't mean ain't nobody going to try. Because when people feel like their life is going to end or they going to go to prison, and especially the type of motherfuckers that Donald Trump like to hang out with, they might kill you. Do not commit crimes against, with, or for affluent people. This got Donald John Trump written all over it. The last, we done already did this, so I'm not going to go through it again. 8, once you get what you need from the crime game, leave it behind. This motherfucker was worth at some time in his life $300 or $400 million. I will never believe he was a billionaire. But he was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And instead of being a successful businessman, he decided to be a crime boss. If your crime is successful, do not share your spoils. I don't know whether or not he did that or not. Don't care. It's not important. If you get arrested, the only sentences you know from that point forward is, I'd like to see a lawyer. This motherfucker will go run into his bootleg Twitter and tell all his business. And he can't take none of it back. And it can't be taken off the record because he said the shit in public. So he is his own worst nightmare. He is his own lawyer's worst nightmare. I can't at this point imagine a lawyer that will take his case except for somebody who's trying to gain notoriety by defending this fool. May he rot in hell. May he rot in jail. And while everybody else is celebrating and dancing and all of that type of stuff, people are saying shit that like Hillary Clinton must be thrilled and Stormy Daniels, she must be happy and all of this other stuff. And you know, there are two sets of people I'm thinking about right now. I'm not thinking about all of those people. I'm thinking about E. Jean Carroll and the Central Park Five. E. Jean Carroll is not going to be a criminal case. That's going to be a civil case. But the reason why I'm glad that's coming up is because Donald Trump is going to have to sit up in court and testify about raping that woman. Now, to my knowledge, that's not the only woman he raped, but she was the one that came forward. So I'm thrilled about that. I can't wait to see him under the microscope for that, having to actually testify. I know he gonna lie his ass off and say stupid shit like she ain't my type. Anybody with a pussy is his type. He the one that want to fuck his daughter, ain't he? So how ain't E. Jean Carroll his type? And then last thing, the Central Park Five. This dude was caping for the death penalty for the Central Park Five, even though they committed no crimes. Them boys sat in jail for 7 years on a crime they didn't commit. And here come Donald Trump with the full page New York Times ad advocating for their extermination. They're advocating for the death penalty for them. So last night when the indictment hit, the most poignant and I feel on point comment was made by one of the Central Park Five. His tweet just said, karma. And you know what? He was right. Fuck Donald Trump. Go to jail. Do not pass go. Go directly to hell.